I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Shannon Waller. Shannon is a speaker, presenter, and coach. She's been with Strategic Coach since 1991 and is the creator of the Entrepreneurial Team Program. Shannon is a Colby Certified Consultant, the 2015 recipient of the Colby Professional Leadership Award, and she co-authored the best-selling book, Unique Ability, Creating the Life You Want, and most recently wrote the Team Success Handbook. Shannon, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much. I'm honored.
So, Shannon, I wonder if we could start off by you talking about your passion. What is it you're passionate about?
It's a great question, and I love that you asked it. Thank you. I am extremely passionate about what I would call team success strategies. I love entrepreneurial organizations. I love entrepreneurs, and I really, really love entrepreneurial teams. And I see all these great people, and they're intelligent, and they're motivated, and they care, and they're engaged. And sometimes things work, and sometimes they don't. So the more I can facilitate how things can work better between entrepreneurs and team members, help with leadership, formats and structures and conversations, that makes me really happy. And really, I've been doing it since 1995 when I created the team programs because I kept seeing this disconnect. So it's been pretty much now a 20-year passion to be able to bridge that gap any way I can.
What does an entrepreneurial organization mean to you?
Great. Oh, there's so many ways to define that. Let me go back to an original definition. This, by the way, comes from Dan Sullivan, who's co-founder of Strategic Coach, and he's a fabulous guy for reading history and context. And there is a great definition from, I believe it's Hayek, who said that an entrepreneur is someone who takes resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level of productivity, which I really love that definition. It completely describes everyone and includes a lot. So an entrepreneur is someone who takes sometimes an idea or things that were lying around and creates something new from that that creates value for their audience, whomever that may be. And we like to refer to it as an audience versus just a marketplace because there's always people involved. An entrepreneurial team is a team that is really put together around that entrepreneur to facilitate that happening easily, to be able to scale, to be able to leverage. A lot of times the entrepreneurs is what we call unique ability. So that's really what an entrepreneurial organization is all about. And the opportunities for people in an entrepreneurial organization, in my experience and what I've seen from our clients, are so much greater than in almost any other kind of structure because there's fewer people around. So everyone gets to do a little bit of everything. They get to have real contact with vendors and clients and do negotiations and make decisions that often would take years in much larger companies happen really quickly in entrepreneurial companies.
Interesting. So given that description, what have you seen that doesn't work?
Oh,
in such an organization or in such a team?
Probably what doesn't work is thinking that everyone operates the same way. So, for example, Strategic Coach only works with entrepreneurs. That's our definition of our client base. And most of us, and this is true for almost anyone, we tend to think that other people work the same way that we do. And they don't. Entrepreneurs are an interesting breed. And unique, and so are entrepreneurial team members for that matter. And when any of us tend to assume that other people do problem solve the same way, approach situations the same way, share exactly the same values. I mean, I want to be working with people who have similar values, but some of us have different priorities. When we assume that someone else is just like us, and they're not, it makes for a huge amount of frustration because we think they're doing it wrong. We don't understand why they can't read our minds. We think that they've just completely messed up. You know, all of these judgments start happening when we don't appreciate that, in fact, we're unique and, you know, how we problem solve, how we think about things, how we process information, how fast the pace at which we work is, you know, that's one combination and someone else may have a very different combination of those things. So when we start to appreciate how we're unique, we can also then appreciate how other people are different and have an effective working relationship. If we don't do that, I've seen really intelligent people just blow up team members, teamwork situations, opportunities, because they just made incorrect assumptions.
Would you be willing to share a story of someone who was involved in an entrepreneurial organization where it wasn't working because there were some of these assumptions about working styles that weren't valid, and how things might have shifted and turned around to become a successful team and or successful organization?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell two stories, actually, one from a team member's perspective and one from an entrepreneur perspective. There's one team member I worked with for a little while, and then he wasn't in my program after a little bit. And he came in to work with an entrepreneurial organization with, I would call it, a bit of an entitlement attitude. There was a certain title that he wanted. There was a certain pay level. He really wanted the status of the corner office. And that was a huge part of his negotiation. And he came in this case, this is more of a values differential. He came in wanting those things. And when he actually got the titles that he wanted, but his ability to contribute to and get aligned with the core values of the company just weren't there. And, you know, he was supposed to be this big, successful contribution to the company. And in fact, was not. Let me see. I'll give him some initials. Well, let's call him Bob. Okay. And he worked with a good friend of mine who I'll call Fred. And, you know, Bob just, you know, he kind of said the right things, but he didn't actually deliver on those. And he was kind of there more for his reasons than for the company's reasons. Now, I am all for people being extraordinarily successful in a structure, but the work they do has to be in alignment with the goals of the organization. And so anyway, eventually that relationship fell apart. And other than, you know, Bob really realizing that he could get everything that he wanted if he aligned himself with the company goals, then I think he could have been outrageously successful. But because he, you know, really, he had to be about him rather than a bigger result or bigger picture, then he just could not be successful in that organization. And it took a long time for that to work its way out. He was pretty savvy. But it was kind of a shame, because I got to see someone who was really intelligent and did care a lot, but just had the wrong mindset to be effective in an entrepreneurial company. So that's one example. I'm not sure what the remedy was other than to change his mindset. And then the other one I see a lot, and it's frankly hard to come up with a name because I can probably think of about 20. And this is where, let me just think. I can almost use the same entrepreneur, actually, but I'll use a different one. There's an entrepreneur that I worked with, and her name was Sharon. And she had, you know, just, she's a great person, highly intelligent, but she thought everyone else should kind of be exactly the same way that she was. So now over the course of her being in the strategic coach program and learning more about team stuff, she realized what her strengths were in terms of Colby. So you read that I was Colby certified. And Colby is kind of fascinating because it's a profile that does not measure intelligence, nor does it measure personality. You can be smart or not. You can be extroverted, introverted, and you can still have the same Colby profile. So she learned her Colby profile and realized, oh, you know, I'm someone who's a quick start. I love anything new and different is automatically better. I love it. But for her to be effective, she actually needed people around her who were more even-paced, who were not all about the bright, shiny object. So she had someone working with her who she did not think was a winner, and her name was Meredith. And with Meredith, Meredith was kind of knew that Sharon was unhappy with her, but eventually, because of teamwork and working with both of them, they figured out that how they were different and how they were complementary. So Sharon started to appreciate Meredith's strengths, Meredith started to appreciate Sharon's strengths, and they were able to transform their teamwork. I have a personal rule called know thyself, which is know how you operate, know your value system, know all those things. And out of that, they completely transformed their teamwork. So Sharon kept, you know, stopped expecting Meredith to do everything, you know, yesterday, and gave her some time to get her work done and appreciated her input, and vice versa. You know, Meredith did not resist the fast pace that Sharon worked at and stopped resisting, started to learn how to respond to those bright, shiny object suggestions like, oh, that's a really interesting idea. Let's see, you know, where that can fit into our existing process, because we've got some really great stuff already. We want to make sure it's going to add to it and not just distract us. And that was really rewarding to be able to see that transformation of teamwork, because both people, I would say, kind of increase their awareness about their own capabilities and that of the team they need around them.
So would you say that diversity among team members is beneficial?
I think it's not only beneficial, I think it's essential. One of the biggest hiring dangers in the world is that we tend to hire people who are exactly like us, cloning. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want someone who wants your job, great, hire that person. Sometimes we do, in fact, want to replicate ourselves. But more often than not, we need to find our complement. You know, if I want to be freed up to do what I'm best at and most passionate about, I need to find people around me who love and are passionate about all the things I'm not. So, yes, I think it's essential. And I think if anyone actually wants to really thrive in what they do, we need to expand our mindsets about what's valuable. And by all means, there's such a thing as a good investment and a bad investment when it comes to a team, but really have a huge awareness about that how you do things in the world is completely right for you. It may not be right for somebody else. So appreciating that there's lots of actually different ways to get things done is number one in my mind.
Shannon, if you're not used to hiring a diverse skill set, diverse set of qualifications, diverse personalities to be on a team, and you realize that it is important and you start doing it, but something's not going so well when you bring somebody on, when is it time to pull the plug?
Oh, well, my next book is actually called Multiplication by Subtraction, which means, you know, sooner rather than later, because that's what that refers to. It's a great question. After about three months, first of all, be very rigorous in your hiring process, so you have fewer messes to clean up is one thing. But if you do hire someone and it looked great and everything was fine on paper and in person, and you're working together for a while, you know, it's a little bit like hire slow, fire fast. You kind of know. If your gut is trying to tell you something, but you're justifying in your mind, oh, maybe I haven't given them enough training, or oh, maybe it will work out. So-and-so, they got a great recommendation. Maybe it's us. It's probably not. You know, for whatever reason, it's not a right fit. So if you can do it within, you know, the kind of 90-day grace period, that's fabulous. But if not, kind of as soon as you know, if you're thinking it, I got coached one time, if you're thinking it, take action. You know, don't wait. And I have stories of, you know, even here at Strategic Coach, there was one person who'd been fabulous as part of the creation of Coach, but at some point where that person was going and where the company was going were two very different directions, and it took us 3 years to make that decision. There were some dollars that went along with that time period. So sooner rather than later, and if someone is going to shape up, they will lobby hard to stay, you know, with you and say, I'll shape up, but give them a couple weeks after that, and if they aren't consistent with it, then definitely you want to pull the plugs. So kind of as soon as you have an inkling that for whatever reason it's not a right fit or you can't make it work, then that's when to take action.
Yeah, I've seen people wait way too long, and they do have the inkling, but they just don't want to address it.
No, and they avoid the issue, and then the problem is messes happen.
Yes.
So they upset the clients, they tick them off, they tell you everything's fine, but it's not. Or they stir up everybody else, and everyone else starts looking for a new job, which is horrible, because that's almost happened to us. We found that some very, very good people were going to be leaving because of their leader. It was like, actually, no, we love them. It's the leader that's the one that has the problem. So then we took action.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Shannon, one of the things that I'm observing is a lot of change is taking place in the work environment. You know, there more and more people are working on an outsourced basis or doing virtual work. More and more people doing multiple things simultaneously. So you have more and more part-time engagements, whether they're on an employer-employee basis or on a employer-contractor basis. And I sense that this is happening worldwide, that it's not just in North America. And I wondered what you observe and what comments you might have about how to support a decentralized workforce.
It's a great and very timely conversation because, you know, we pretty much have, you know, in a strategic coach, we've got just over 100 team members. And some of them have lived in places as far flung as, you know, Wick, Scotland. Hamish just moved back. You know, but we've got team members over the U.S. and we've got different locations. And we have our main offices in Toronto and Chicago. And it's a challenge, you know, for even for a company who's so team aware as we are. And you know, we're really very incredibly conscious of the fact that our team is our company. You know, it's hard to do. So how to support people is a couple of things about that that I know work. And then there's lots of other ideas, I'm sure, too, that other people have. But what we know works is that at least periodically, in our case, it's usually about once a year, that we actually get our entire team together. So it really is worth the investment to fly everyone in. We like to do a team event. So last year we went bowling, fairly entertaining. I don't bowl, so it was pretty fun. And so we do something social so people can get to know each other on a person-to-person basis. And the next day we had our company meeting. Now, it takes, again, a fair amount of commitment to be able to do that, time, money, everything else. But the impact of it is that people are so comfortable, you know, with one another. The teamwork is there. It doesn't matter if they're remote now because they have those relationships with people. They actually get to see people they may have talked to for the past year but never met, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're totally different than I thought you did. So that's one thing, get together periodically. And there needs to be at least one person in the organization that they have a very close relationship with. So that person knows them not just as someone who provides a service, but knows, you know, what are their aspirations? What do they care about? What's their family life about? You know, are they stressed? You know, what relaxes them? What do they do on their vacations? So being known by someone can be only one person, but the more the better. You know someone actually cares about you as a person, not just as a contributor. That is an essential element to it. Now, the other thing, because it's a huge dissatisfier for people who work remotely, is when they can't get a hold of people at a main office. So that means that people need to be really good at showing up on time for meetings, about delivering, you know, information when they said they were going to. You know, really about being respectful of the fact that when someone is in a different time zone particularly, it's really challenging if, you know, they don't know that you're 15 minutes late for the meeting or that something happened, the fire alarm went off. You know, we have to make a point of keeping these people in mind because otherwise it's out of sight, out of mind. So really paying attention to the fact that, oh yeah, someone's actually waiting for me, and treating it like a physical meeting can make a huge difference. The last key point I would say is to really employ technology well. So have systems where, you know, constantly instant messaging with other people or make sure that you're using a great project management software so everyone knows the status of everything. There's a whole bunch of those available. So really have technology platforms that support people being networked and communicated with so that they're in the loop and in the know and current with projects. Otherwise, they don't feel as helpful and as useful. So that's, you know, those are some of the core things that I know work to eliminate the issues that happen with people who work remotely and just to make sure that they're still a team. They're not just a mechanical contributor to the organization. They're a human being who's also supplying their creativity and their will and their engagement. And we need to honor and respect that as well.
Have you seen some examples of companies that really do this well?
Yes. In fact, a lot of the companies, especially now entrepreneurs coming into the coach program, are virtual teams. And the ones that do it well have fabulous technology platform. There's a great healthcare provider. I don't know that I'll mention his name. First name's David, actually, same as yours. And he has a team. He's based in Western Canada and Western U.S. His team is all over, but he actually just we were actually part of his meeting. He brought his entire team together. He's kind of lives in a remote, kind of beautiful area in BC. And, you know, I think part of the meeting was held barefoot from what I heard. But it's just really a chance, again, for people to get to know one another. Because when they're not on a retreat, they are working so hard. It's a rapidly, rapidly growing business. It's an information marketing business. So the challenges are big. They have to pull off a lot of great things they've never done before. So they really need to feel connected as a team and be connected to the purpose of the company, which is, again, increased health and well-being for their clientele. And so it's bringing them together was one of the key strategies that Dave used to make sure that everyone was literally and figuratively on the same page.
It's a great example. Shannon, what do you think are some of the hardest tasks we have to accomplish as business leaders?
Oh, the list is so long. Well, not only do we have to make sure we've got cash flow coming in, we've got to make sure our clients are happy. We have to make sure that we're coming up with new products. We have to manage the team that helps provide us and get leveraged. If we have any other financial resources or people that we have to keep happy, we have to make sure that they're in the loop. So there's a long, long list. For most people, I would say the fun part of business is doing what their passion is. So if that's connecting with clients, if that's providing a unique product or service, in the delivering of it, that's really, really fun. For most people, the not fun part, the challenging part, is the management of it. You know, and that's where a huge amount of the complexity comes from. And that's a good portion, a good part of the reason why Strategic Coach even exists, is because, you know, all of us love to do what we love to do, but then there's all the stuff that comes with it, including regulation and, you know, legal requirements and things like that, all of which are important, but sometimes that's not what people actually love to do. So that's where teams come in, and that's where a whole bunch of other strategies come in too, to make sure it frees us up so we can still stay connected to what we love to do.
That's great. Shannon, businesses often hit critical shift points, and you know, if they've been successful and there's a market for what they offer, it seems like it could be frustrating when you can't seem to create greater success, assuming that that's what you want to do. You know, and your company hits a plateau. And I was wondering if you have some observations about symptoms you've seen that exemplify these kinds of shift points that businesses need to make.
Oh, yes. And this is the name of this podcast series too, so it's perfect. Well, I think almost anyone who is striving and growing will hit a plateau at some point. And Strategic Coach, we simply call it the ceiling of complexity. It's where you've got enough experience, you know what you're doing, and you can see a bigger, brighter, better future, but you're so filled up with stuff, and stuff is a technical term to us, that you can't actually get there. And it's kind of interesting. You know, one of the challenges of the ceiling of complexity is it's also a comfort trap. It's a comfort zone. So we know our clientele at this level. We know what we're good at. We know how to generate this level of revenue or income. But getting to a higher level of clientele or income or even a support team looks hard and looks scary. So there are lots of symptoms of that, but flat income, flat growth, you kind of get bored with your business or yourself. That's always a good symptom of that. So how do you break through this plateau? And it's a great question, because if there's something that keeps people up at night, it's not knowing how to break through to the next level, especially if you feel like you can and maybe you should. You're like, oh, what am I doing wrong? One of the things that Dan recently has kind of landed on, this is Dan Sullivan, is something he calls the 4 C's formula. And it's really a growth formula. If you think about it, every single one of us in any part of our life, you've gone through these 4 stages to get where you are now. So he's simply identifying and naming something that we're all really familiar with. And the 4 C's are commitment, courage, capability, and confidence. And as he talks about, the challenge is that almost all of us, especially if you've had any success in life, which everyone listening has, is we really like this feeling of capability and confidence. It feels really good. You know, we like knowing that we can do certain things. There are certain results that are predictable for us. However, in order to grow, we have to be able to commit to something we haven't yet done before. We have to commit before we actually know how to do something.
To something new.
Something new.
Which is probably scary.
Absolutely, it's scary. And that's kind of one of the definitions, is you commit to something you do not yet know how to pull off. You're like, yes, I'm going to do this. Everyone, just think. You know, sometimes you've made a commitment and you're like, oh no, what have I done? it's that phase. So as soon as we make that higher level commitment to something we haven't yet done, then immediately we're into what we call the courage phase. And I love calling it courage, because it gives a name to that fairly icky feeling. Doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel anywhere near as good as confidence feels like. But that state of courage is incredibly important. And just knowing that that's what it is, I think is vitally important, because first of all, it's like, okay, I'm in the courage phase. You can talk yourself into it. It's like, okay, this is a necessary component of my growth. I can do this. I've done it before. You kind of give yourself a little pep talk. See, out of that commitment and that courage comes innovation. when you commit to something you don't know how to do yet, then you have to, in some level, create it or make it up, depending on what term you like to use. And out of that creates innovation, which creates the new capability that you didn't have before. So capability is like, oh, okay, I figured this out. I know how to do something. And there's often lots of capabilities that you learn. So it's not like there's just one and then you're kind of done. It, you know, as you learn what works, what doesn't work, we all get smarter about how this gets, you know, what our new capability is. And then finally, that leads to that state of confidence. And the state of confidence is what makes it worthwhile. It's the opposite to the feeling of courage. And you're like, oh, I did it. You know, I achieved that new commitment level. I learned what it was that I needed to learn. And then you can go on to make a higher level commitment. I mean, I've done this exercise, we call it the 4 C's exercise, a few times. And I can remember just the sheer state of fear I was in before I coached my very first workshop. Because really, it had been a school project. I had done sales for years. I went back to school because I thought my brain was going to rust. And I came up with the idea in a training design program for a team program that would go along with the strategic coach program. So this was for the team members of our clients. But really, you know, as I went up to present it and I kind of ended up selling it to my HR class at the time, you know, I came back in and I told Babs, co-founder of Strategic Coach, I said, hey, I did really well in this course. She said, great, let's do it. And I remember that feeling of, oh no, what have I done? This was in 1994. And it took till the following November because I had never designed a workshop. I had never delivered a workshop. I may have done a speech or two to a small audience. Like I had no idea other than having been in workshops. That was the sum total of my experience. So it was definitely that courage phase. And Dan fortunately helped me design the first two or three. And then like, okay, I like my design more than his. So then I took over the design of it. But that's how that capability and confidence came about for the team programs. And I'm sure if, you know, every single person I've ever talked to about the 4 C's, I said, have you ever made a commitment where you didn't know what to do yet? And they go, oh, yeah, I remember. And then I have to tell you, it makes the best dinner party conversation ever, way more interesting than the weather, because, you know, we're fascinated by other people's commitment and courage stories as to how they got capable and confident. So this 4 C's growth formula is so fun, it's so interesting, and it's so validating, for that's really how all of us, I'm sure you too, David, have gone through your own commitment, courage, capability, and confidence stages, and then you just keep doing it, and you keep getting more and more successful as a result.
Sounds a little like the hero's journey.
Very much like the hero's journey. But if you're unwilling to go through the courage phase, you don't grow. So yeah, that part of the hero's journey is so important and so essential.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
So Shannon, I know that you're obviously a big follower of Dan Sullivan and Bab Smith. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could mention another person who's been influential in your development and your career.
Those are probably the two biggest ones. I can most definitely tell you that. There's some other people. I'm influenced a lot in terms of my thinking on teamwork, and there's a couple of people I'd love to talk about. Number one is Patrick Lencioni. So Patrick Lencioni, some people may be familiar with him because he wrote a bunch of different books, but The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team is his runaway bestseller. He's written Politics, Silos, and Turf Wars. He wrote The 4 Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive. And then, so those are all parable stories, and he tells a story in such a great way. And the lessons from that have been so instrumental because he breaks down really common company and team and growth issues into very understandable, clear principles. And then his latest book, I know he's got a new book coming out soon, his latest book is called The Advantage, and he puts together all of those concepts and structures in one book, and it's so meaty, I can read like a chapter at a time, but his thinking is so rich and so on target for me and people I've recommended his stuff to. So he's probably been the number one influencer in terms of my just confidence and knowledge about teamwork. Kathy Colby has been another huge, you know, contributor to my understanding and personally, you know, mentored me as well. And Kathy's whole thing is, you know, there really is something other than just personality and your cognitive ability. There is a predictable way that people strive, that they problem solve. And when you, I have to say, David, when you know that, you have insight into people. It's like playing a game of cards and you can see what their hand is. And for me, you know, I also use StrengthsFinder as another profile. But when you know this information, it's easy to design roles for people that really feed them and that they're naturally talented and good at, as long as they care about your purpose. You know, it's easy to make sure that you surround yourself with the right complement of people. It's easy to understand yourself better. So Kathy and her approach to people and success is fundamental to me, to my way of thinking. And her definition of freedom, pardon me, her definition of success actually is the freedom to be yourself. And I love that she's got a tool to go around with that, to be coached around that. So Kathy Colby, both with a K, if anyone's interested in looking her up, has been fundamental. I could keep going, David, if you want.
These are all great examples. I'm afraid we'll run out of time if we go too long on this subject. I want to ask you to talk about, speaking of commitment, talk about what you're committed to working on that's going to be new coming out soon.
There's a couple things, actually. One of the things I'm committed to, this is more for the clients that I work with, but I've had the opportunity lately to work with some phenomenal clients who with growing companies. And my commitment to them is to help them grow 10 times in a way that's very healthy and that is organizationally strong. So that's been one of my personal commitments. In terms of something that other people get to view or see, it is in fact the book Multiplication by Subtraction. And really just really for people to understand that not everyone is a right fit for their team. And the more knowledge and wisdom you have at the beginning of that process, the better. But again, when we subtract the wrong fit player, and I'm not saying these are bad people. Sometimes they're just in the wrong position, which is why profiles are so helpful. But when you actually finally make that decision to subtract the wrong person from the team dynamic for whatever reason, all of a sudden, everyone else on the team multiplies in terms of their results, their happiness. Sometimes you don't need to replace the person. You know, we don't realize the ballast or the drag that some of the wrong fit people play in organizations, and it looks like low-hanging fruit and easy to do. It's not. It is really tough to make those decisions. I'm in my past, I've been horrible about making those decisions. I dread them and I put them off as long as possible. And so really just being able to make that decision, I was very much inspired by the author of Necessary Endings, who just really puts down on paper, personally, professionally, why it's so important to actually say no, and to say, no, it's okay, you don't have to do this. This is really Necessary Endings applied to team members. And out of that, everyone else gets stronger. That's really one of the key things for me that's been really, really changed my thinking and made it easier for me to make decisions. And I know from so many conversations with my clients that they've held on to team members too long to the detriment of their clients and their team and themselves. So if I can help facilitate that thinking process, not that I want to go fire people, but if I can facilitate that thinking process, then companies will be stronger as a result.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Great.
Shannon, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
Oh, I'm really blessed because so many of our clients are doing such remarkable work. One of the ones that is kind of a little on the public side of things is Peter Diamandis. And Peter Diamandis does an exponential thinking podcast actually with Dan Sullivan. He does Abundance 360, which is a kind of a once a year meeting to kind of find out what the latest and greatest exponential technology is. And technology is interesting. He describes it as sort of this giant wave. And a lot of people feel swamped by all of the new technology coming out. But what Peter is brilliant at doing is discerning, you know, what's coming up, how you can take advantage of it, how to ride the wave as opposed to being crushed by it. And he is so incredibly well connected with Silicon Valley and people all over the world in terms of exponential technologies. And he really sees the possibilities. He himself is involved in asteroid mining. Who knew? He's co-founder of Singularity University. He's, you know, in terms of breakthroughs, in terms of health and technology and finances and you know, how you can live longer, if there's someone to know who knows everything and everyone, I would say it's Peter Diamandis. And his latest book is Bold. Before that, he wrote Abundance, which is just profound. I mean, so much news we get is negative. And you read Peter's book, Abundance, and you're like, oh, there's some really great stuff happening that's going to make everyone's world better. And I love hearing from him. Every single time I read something about robotics or AI, I get inspired. So Peter's someone who's on my key list, who's doing amazing things. I want to make sure I always, at least a few steps, you know, with behind his way of thinking because it's so inspiring.
Yeah, Peter is doing great things, and it's a great example, so thank you. Shannon, yes. How can listeners learn more about you?
Oh, my goodness. I have a Team Success podcast, so if you love teams or love your own as much as I do, then go to yourteamsuccess.com. It's also available, the Team Success podcast is also available on iTunes. I wrote the Team Success handbook, so if you want a handbook for your team members to tell them how to work with you, that's how I wrote it. That's another thing to check that out. That's available at strategiccoach.com on our store. And yeah, Google strategiccoach.com. Everything I do in my world is within the Strategic Coach world. So if you're an entrepreneur who wants great strategies, you know, strategiccoach.com or yourteamsuccess.com are great places to go.
Great. Thank you. So Shannon, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a great discussion and really inspiring for me, and I hope for our audience too. My guest today has been speaker, presenter, and coach Shannon Waller. Thank you again, Shannon, for joining us.
My pleasure, David, and it's so much fun to talk to someone who's as like-minded, so thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.